think he ever was tempted to call himself Waka Waka?
I hope so. I'm wondering if that was the origin of it, Fozzie Bear.
What's his name?
Waka Flocka Flame. He's out of the game now.
I know. I can't respect.
Well, he's...
I don't even care what he does.
Wait,
how could you possibly respect Waka Flocka Flame?
Well, he's from...
Flame? F-L-A-M-E? Flame?
Yeah.
What an asshole. Hi. Welcome to So How About This? I am Alan Dempsey. To my right is my main Negroni.
Rafiq Shaheen.
And to his right...
I'm Jeff Ray.
Jeff Ray.
Hopefully Alan's main Caucasian-y.
Caucasian.
So we, in our last episode, somebody brought up a drink called Negronis.
Okay.
None of us had ever heard of them.
Oh.
And I asked Rafiq, can I call you my main Negroni?
Answer, now it's stuck.
And the answer was a resounding yes.
Good.
Jeffrey, how long have you been doing the comedy like Yuck Yucks?
I just got a car, so I just started.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not a real comic until you can drive to
a
open mic.
I've been doing it for about 5 years. Yeah. God, maybe six. I think five.
Jeez. You started after me?
I think so, yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, I've been working at comedy clubs for a while. But,
yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Like, but, so, like, just doing the joke part was, like...
Yeah, no, I... Yeah.
What got you up there when you find... Like, was it the night you saw that headliner who was horrible? And you were like, fuck that guy, I can do that.
Oh, no. No, that wasn't... That never motivated me. It was just the fear of doing nothing. And... Yeah.
So you have what I like to call a comedy origin of I'm miserable and I'm going to shoot myself.
Yeah.
So I better start talking into a microphone.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, and just a lot of fear and inhibition in myself kept me from doing it sooner.
I like how I feel like you would have been Batman if you had just had more money. Like, that's the trade-off. Like, you either become a superhero or you become a comic.
Well, I don't have Batman money. But I do have no money, therefore I can be a comedian.
I didn't realize I was funny and realize I was a comedian in the middle of a cocaine psychosis, and I think that's how a lot of comics start.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's totally what happened to me, too.
I don't have a whole lot of drug stories, but the one time I did half a hit of LSD,
okay,
I started hysterically laughing about this joke, went and wrote it down. The next day I saw it and I was like, yeah, that's funny. Like, but I mean, the night before I was just, I couldn't breathe. It was the funniest thing I'd ever come across my mind, ever.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, it's a good premise. It's a good start. Right. It might have legs. I don't know. So I want to hear, what was it? Somebody stole something? Right before we started, there was a comic who did something crazy. Bombs!
Oh, yeah.
So there's a TJ.
No.
Don't say names.
Yeah, don't say, like, I will. No, we had TJ Miller at the club, and he was really good. He was really, really funny and really, really nice guy. Yeah, he got into some trouble for some sort of bomb thing. I don't know.
He got kicked off of a Silicon Valley?
He said he quit? Yeah.
Well, didn't he get... Isn't he another guy who got accused of some shit?
Me too.
Yeah, I didn't want to be the one to say it.
I love that me too has become a verb.
It is.
Yeah.
I'd rather not talk about him because, you know, that's a work thing. And,
sure.
Yeah.
But he was, I didn't even remember any of that until I wikied him this morning. So while he was at the club, I wasn't even thinking of it. And then I hit his wiki up today, and I'm like, oh, that's right, yeah, that stuff. Like, that's right, we can't forgive him, and we have to keep it part of his legacy forever.
Yeah, see, I that's something about the digital era that I can't stand. Is like
the internet never forgets.
Yeah, it's like now, like before, it used to just be like, you did something 20 years ago, who cares? Now it's like, you did something 20 years ago, that's the same as doing it yesterday, you motley.
Yeah, right.
And no matter how many times you say you didn't like that part of yourself, no, that's you.
Right.
That you write this second.
Forever.
Well, did he... I guess we were just talking about him. I thought you were talking about stories that you experienced that a comic choked somebody or...
Oh, no, 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 no.
These
no,
are all no, rumors. TJ Miller experiences.
Absolutely.
Okay. No, well, now it's not fun to talk about.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Why'd you bring it up, you son of a bitch?
I mean...
We should edit that out.
Look, just because I'm jealous of his success doesn't mean that I won't sling mud.
No, he was. It was a really righteous show. Like, he was... Yeah.
I can imagine that. There's some comics where you just see them, like you just see that poster on the wall, and you're like, this guy's probably fun to talk to. And then there are other comics for me where I see that headshot on the wall, I'm like, this person's a dick. Like, I don't have to meet you to know. Like, I can just see. There's just something about the vibe you give off.
I feel that way about a lot of movies. Like, I don't need to watch it to know it's terrible.
Right.
Yeah.
I am oddly jealous, though, of terrible movies. Like, I'm a big fan of Z-tier films.
Of course.
And part of the whole thing for me is I watch them and I go, like, you got money to do this? Like, someone paid you at least, like, $50,000 to do this? Like, why not me? Why not, like, anything else but this kind of thing? Like...
Do you think there's a defining trend? How long have you been working with comedy clubs?
We haven't been working shit. working as an employee. Okay, yeah. Okay, gotcha. God, too long. Since 07.
Since you were 7 years
old? Since 2000.
Since you were 7.
I heard since I was 7.
No, that would make me, what, Pauly Shore?
No. Yeah, right. Can you think of a defining...
He was born in it, wasn't he? 07. Yeah, 2007. Okay.
So the guys who are dicks, like, or girls,
yeah.
Can you think of, like, what's the defining, is it the more famous guys, is it the more, like...
No.
What's the band?
Honestly, almost all of them are, you know, super sensitive artists and very sweet, and somebody asked me the other day, like, who's a dick, and I'm just like, I don't really know, because if anybody's a dick, I just, like, just put them in the...
Yeah.
Just forget about it. It's like, meh.
The only person who... I can say...
Into the void they go.
In, like, my minor experience working with, like, comics and headliners and stuff like that, the only comic who I can legitimately say... Or, like, major headliner who I can legitimately say was a dick was Rob Schneider. And that's only because I love telling this story about
the
experience.
Story.
So, the first, like, this is, like, year two doing comedy, and I had gotten some advice from Jim to, like, wait until, right? No, it actually wasn't bad advice. He was, like, wait until the audience has left before you approach the headliner to just talk to them as, like, an individual, so you're not just another face in the herd.
Yeah, that's right.
I was like, all right, you know, that's solid. And so, like, I wait, and, like, everyone leaves, and I go up to Rob, and I'm just like, hey, man, I saw your show tonight, thought it was great, you know, I just started doing comedy, you know, I wanted to say I watched you in movies, and seeing you on stage was, like, a really great experience, and I don't know who I was with, but, like, and this wasn't, like, that jokey kind of, like, moment, he legit turns to the guy next to him, and he goes, who the fuck is this loser, right, and I go... And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, so I go into the bar, and there's Jim and a couple other comics, and I'm telling them, like, Rob Schneider just told me to go fuck myself, right? And they're like, who the f*** does he think he is or whatever? And I guess somebody had heard Rob say that and told him to go apologize. So he opens the door to the bar, leans his head in, and he goes... I guess I told one of you guys to go fuck yourself or whatever. I guess I'm sorry. And then he leaves. And people were like, dude, I'd go fight him. Like, yeah. And I was just thinking, I was like, there's no
way. Oh, yeah, there were a lot of bar tough guys around you saying, you should go beat him up, man. Go kick his ass. Right.
And I was like, he's not going to remember me. Fast forward a year, and this is the reason why I love this story. Fast forward a year, Rob is back at the club, right? And I'm just sitting at the bar drinking, like no one else is around me, and Rob comes in. I'm like, hey, Rob, I heard your weekend's been going really good. Congrats, man. And he just goes like, oh, hey, man, it's always great when fans show their appreciation, man. So, like, thanks for coming out, yada, yada, yada. And I was just like, cool. that's my Rob Schneider story.
So I'm a big Rob Schneider fan. No. I have love for him because when he was at the club, he was working into, like, he would just, anybody that crossed his path, he had to stop them and tell them that, you know that song X's and O's? That's my baby girl. It's on the top in the Billboard charts. Just telling everyone, like, door guys, just anyone.
Jeez.
I was there when...
So I thought it was very sweet.
How different are those two experiences now? Like, oh, this is my baby girl. Fuck you. This is my baby girl.
I was there the minute... I want to say his name is Brandon T. Jackson from Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
I was there the moment he got the news that he was having a baby.
Really?
Like, I was standing right next to him, and he was on the phone, and he's like, I'm having a baby.
Nice.
I'm like, wow. Congratulations. Very nice. Celebrity I accidentally ran into in a parking lot. How are you today? It was a weird day.
I don't know why, but I just pictured the two of you out in front of like an Aldi's.
I told you this story, didn't I?
No, I don't. Not really.
I was, many years ago when I was teaching, you know, I had these long summers off, so I just decided to like just get in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Just no particular destination. Just go. Until my money runs out, which is exactly what happened. I end up in Atlanta. I mean, I ended up here and I ended up there. There's a bunch of stories. But I end up in Atlanta to see a friend I hadn't seen in like 10 years. And we're like in Atlanta. And I'm doing comedy regularly at the time. I'm like, well, let's see if there's any open mics.
Mm-hmm.
We find this place called the Star Bar, which neither of us knew anything about. That's a whole different story. But we get there. Laughing Skull is across the street, mm-hmm. which that's a big place.
Mm-hmm.
He physically can't get in because of his wheelchair. We can't get into the restaurant.
Oh, wow.
So we're like, well, fuck this. We go down the road and wander into a pizza joint that's comic book themed.
Okay.
And if you know anything about me, I kind of like comic books. So cool. I'm just like, am I in heaven? What just happened here? Like, the bathrooms, the wallpaper is comic book covers that they tore off and put
all the variant covers.
Cool. You know? And so...
Are they once met.
But when we got out of the car, like, we're pulling up, empty parking lot, we're putting him on the little contraption that lowers him so he can get down, and there's the guy from Tropic Thunder standing in front of me, which was only, like, 2-3 years old at that point. It was still a newish movie.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just, like, talking to him. He goes, you guys are comics? I go, yeah. So I'm, like, talking shop with him, and eventually I go, you're in Tropic Thunder, right? And he's like, yeah. And we just started, and I'm like... What is happening right now? I wander an open mic. I'm talking to a celebrity. I'm at a comic book pizza joint. Yeah. Like, did the world just like melt around me today?
you need a good day. Yeah. Here's a bone.
Yeah,
I've heard the best like server advice, service industry advice. Like, if you have to deal with celebrities, you treat the ordinary exceptional and the exceptional ordinary. And that definitely works. Like, if you're around someone who's, you know, some sort of celebrity, just treat them like normal dude, normal chick, and you'll get very far with them.
I can definitely say that about the casino, because, mm-hmm. like, there's a lot... Well, it's kind of a catch-22, because it's like, there's a whole segment of the casino that thinks they're the shit...
Uh-huh.
Even though I constantly come back to, like, you're a professional loser. Like, that's why you have that card. Like, it's not anything special about you. Like, you just lose a lot of money. Like,
you're so good at losing.
Right, yeah. But, like, celebrities will also get that card. So every once in a while, they'll ask you, like, hey, can you help so-and-so to their room?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you're like, yes, I can. And they don't want a scene made.
Yeah.
So you're just going like, hey, celebrity performer or like dude from the Seattle Seahawks or whatever the fuck, like, let me take you to your room and not comment on the fact of like, this is where you work or you were in that thing.
Yeah.
There was a dude, I mentioned the Seahawks because there was a dude last night who he and I'm going to say his girlfriend...
woman he was with.
And he came out of his room wearing like a Pornhub t-shirt.
Excellent.
And there was part of me that was like, that's a dress code violation. But I also know if I tell you that, my boss is going to come and yell at me.
Nice.
For that. So,
why is that a dress code violation?
Because like they have something about like cut off sleeves.
Oh. So the Pornhub part of it was the problem.
No. You can, like, that's the thing. It's like, you can wear almost anything at the casino, but as long as it's not derogatory or, like, hate speech.
Okay.
And even then, that's kind of a very subjective, like, hey, man, can you go put your shirt on inside out? Like...
I almost got, kicked out of TIA because I was wearing a nude Iggy Pop shirt. So it's just an image of him nude. Yeah.
Let me ask you something. When you put that shirt on that morning, did you think to yourself, this won't cause any problems today?
Not really. It was just clean. I didn't really think.
It was clean. Yeah. It was the one that didn't smell bad.
Yeah, exactly. The same. I also was wearing a Jack Kevorkian shirt when I went to the, Hillary Clinton's rally.
Oh, is that the one you usually wear?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just has him and the death machine that says, give the people what they want. Got it from RottenCotton.com. Wonderful website. And
I hear that, Rotten Cotton?
Yeah.
Give us a little jingle jangle.
Bump. You're getting the bump. but yeah, she was going to be at the Ritz, you know, because she couldn't pack a larger venue. And,
I like
and
the
it
very,
was just clean.
I like the very calm dig there. Like, yeah. That was a very clinical burn.
Check your chart. Mm-hmm. Okay, I have an insult here. Penciled in.
I can schedule you for a 6:45 insult.
But yeah, I was right in Ybor, right where I live. And again, I didn't think of the shirt. It was just clean. And I got on stage because I had gotten there early, and they're like, "That's how they get people on stage."
Mm.
that's so good.
Yeah, and of course they couldn't tell me the truth, you know, because they're liberals. And they came up to me and said, "You've got a lot of energy. Do you wanna come over here with the VIP section?" With all the trade unions, you know, away from the cameras.
The trade unions. That's what they want.
Yeah.
Is Jack Kevorkian as a trade union.
I'm just imagining they're ushering you over to a den of freaks.
Yeah.
It's all just people with, like, purple makeup on and piercings. Yes, is that really what it was?
No, but it was... It was trade unions, and it was... they were off to the side. It was, and there were press. There was some press over there. And there was an incredibly disabled, I want to say child, but I don't know if they were an adult or a child, but incredibly disabled. Like,
let's not have them on stage kind of situation?
Well, I don't even know where to begin to say what this person had. They were on a gurney that, it looked like the gurney that they would have used for Prince, because it was like this purple velvet.
What is happening?
It was just like this long bed, and it had like a screen, or she had a screen. That sounds terrible.
I don't want to interrupt your story,
but
far I'm locking in on the words incredibly disabled. It's and Prince Cot.
I need Prince screen. Gurney. I need help on screen. What do you mean?
That's how they communicated. Was through the screen.
Got it.
And the whatever.
Is it like a robot voice situation?
I don't know. Maybe.
So the body itself of this individual was
like, just like imagine you take a human or a child and then just you put a vacuum on them and like vacuum seal them, like, you know, those how you store like old clothes and blankets. Well, imagine a human body, but just like and whatever condition that is, that was.
I believe that's called bitten by a vampire.
Yeah,
I think that's
probably. I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe that was, you know, there's some sort of weird.
That's before the underground child sex ring for Hillary Clinton.
When in the rally did they get to the child fucking? How did we get there? Do they just bring the kids out to have at it? Do people put on ceremonial robes? How does this work?
I always imagined there was a pen. Kind of like a petting zoo.
Oh, they're just already there.
Yeah, you just release the kids there, and then Hillary Clinton just swoops down like a hawk and takes one away.
Right, with her demon wings. It's all, I get it now.
They had a band there, and it was the band was playing like what I would describe as mom's workout mixtape. Like,
let's get physical.
Like Brick House and September and
such a weird song to fuck a child.
Yeah, well, but all the songs were in backwards Latin, which was odd.
She's a brick house. Muddy, muddy brick house.
It's really. Isn't it weird? Isn't it weird how backward Latin always relates to exactly forward English? It yeah. just translates perfectly.
It does. It does. But yeah, I went there and then I went to the Bernie Sanders rally right after.
Yeah, that. I saw you,
yeah,
Bernie.
There was a picture because I hopped on my bike and I got there and I weaseled my way to the front of the line. Which a lot of people were bitching about that, and I'm like, you know, if we're gonna vote for a socialist, clearly there's plenty of front of line to go around. Right, yeah.
We can all be the front of the line.
And it was at the fairgrounds because Bernie could fill the fairgrounds. And
this guy's just undercover zings.
Yeah.
And so it was just like everyone bum rushing to get to the, like he was in the center. They had the podium in the center, and then it, you know, the barricades, of course. And I got right up to the barricade, and whoops, I got to shake his hand. He gave me the double palm grab because the presidential candidates, or potential presidential candidates.
You sound like he gave you a hand job.
Maybe.
He gave me the double palm
hello.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Yeah, he redistributed his yeah. his molestation. The potential presidential candidates have very terrifying Secret Service. I mean, they are good at their job. They are very intimidating, and so they've got, like, you know, the candidate, and then on each side there's a Secret Service, and they're just like, hands up, I need to see your hands, I need to see your hands. And I was gonna shake his hand, but then the guy was scared the hell out of me, so I had both my hands up, like, you know, stop, don't shoot.
Tell me he gave you a double high five.
Well, and he just reaches over and grabs both hands, and then he sees the Kevorkian shirt, and he's like, And I think because I touched Bernie Sanders, that's why he lost.
You transferred your evil.
I actually worked the security aspect of the Bernie Sanders rally.
I remember
rally
you saying
and,
that. Didn't I see you there?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. That's why I said I saw you.
Oh, okay. I had that confused because someone said they saw me on the Bernie Sanders Reddit, which that freaked me out. But
because now you're in the system.
Yeah, well, there was the post about, like, you know, here's Bernie in Tampa, and then all the pictures, and
well, I mean, that's why they're asking to see your hands, just to see if whether or not you had a stigmata.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just can't be mixing that Christian and Jew blood.
Well, now I'm a little confused. If you were at the Bernie rally, Rafiq, then you should have known how the child molestation...
Oh. I mean, it's,
why are you acting like you don't know how it works?
It's different for different candidates.
Okay.
It's kind of like how you order your steak. Like, do you want it served on a platter?
Sure,
do you want
sure.
it served
well,
to,
and
like,
there's a lot
music?
More, there's a lot more pizza involved when it's Hillary.
Yeah.
I Whoa! Mean, did I just drop a hilarious joke or what?
So topical.
So fucking topical. I wish I could drop all the microphones right now from, like, a panel in the roof.
just have a lever in the wall where you just pull it and there's a dozen microphones.
But they're all plugged in, of course.
It's good to have a stockpile of microphones. It's better than having a stockpile of weapons.
That so I'm gonna talk about doing the security for Bernie's rally real quick. But
I would like to hear that.
One thing that you brought up that just freaked me out is I was watching G.I. Joe Retaliation last night at work because they were showing it for some reason.
Okay.
And the thing that made me realize is, like, action movies in America, like, it's really just an American thing. Like, they normalize the idea of a dude having a stockpile of weapons so easily. Like every action movie, some guy goes into a bunker and he just like opens up a panel and there's just like guns everywhere. Whereas like every like Korean film I've seen is like a dude's like, here's a knife, go stab a dude. Like that's it. Like,
is that all because of Tremors? Did Tremors?
Tremors?
Because I think. I know where you're going with that, the whole like cultural expectation or whatever, but I also tend to believe that once a movie puts the idea in the consciousness, the other people who make movies just go like, they just look to the
thing.
You know
what
I mean? They just look to their left and go, well, they did that, so therefore that must be something that we can do now.
Well, you make it real.
Know, we don't have any ideas of our own, so that movie has love triangles, so therefore love triangles are a thing that happens all the time, right?
Well, it's like you never read about that in a book, though. Like, you're never like opening up a book, like a Tom Clancy novel, and he's just like, guns, 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 guns.
That's what I'm saying, visual medium.
Yeah.
The people who make movies don't think about stuff.
Yeah.
The Bernie Sanders. So, one of the things you're talking about with the whole like Secret Service thing is. Like, I used to work for the Department of Homeland Security, and you, when you do the big events for, like, Bernie, Hillary, Trump, whatever, you have to set up a station so everyone can come in. But the weird thing is, like, the Secret Service have their own particular tasks. You're looking for any, like, bombs, guns, knives, but also anything throwable.
Nice.
So you're looking through people's bags, going like, sir, is this your banana? We can't let you in with this banana.
How can I throw rotten fruit at the bad performer if they take my rotten fruit? This is some horseshit. Right. I don't go to a play unless I have a bag of rotten fruit with me, just in case.
My favorite thing about the Bernie rally is there was a dude who had to be escorted away by the police and have a conversation with a Secret Service. Because there was a dude who tried to slip in, like, two cans of, like, whipped cream and, like, a pie tin.
Nice.
So I was like, this is some weird, like, recruiter film nonsense of, like, was it the guy in the back row with the pie tin and the whipped cream?
So wait a minute, he wanted to throw a cream pie?
He wanted, like, and it's just like, how close do you think you're gonna get? Dude, like...
Let me Google Tampa Bernie Sanders cream pie.
Yeah, see what comes up. I'm sure you'll,
I'm sure you'll
get exactly what you thought you were going to find.
It must be a lemon meringue pie.
No, knowing Jeff, though, it is exactly what he wants. So what do
you did there.
What do you guys think? Does he have a shot this time around?
Absolutely not. Because, I mean, of course... He does, but, you know, the whoever's raping the kids, they're not going
I love that sense. Whoever's raping the kids, they ain't gonna let this happen.
You know, Bernie shakes hands with the Illuminati guys, but he doesn't go and buttfuck goats.
So he's like a Tangerial member of Skull and Bones?
I wouldn't say he's a member. I think you have to know guys in the Illuminati.
In all seriousness, I've resigned myself not to care about politics until they close Guantanamo Bay.
That's not a bad moral stance to take, actually.
Because it just kind of blows my mind that maybe every generation has like a disillusionment with power, for me it was a bunch of men in an air conditioned room probably drinking Diet Cokes. And just deciding that torture would be a good policy, and you know, it wasn't men in the heat of a war zone, and you know the crazy things that makes you do. It was a bunch of men.
In
a boardroom that was air conditioned with Diet Cokes.
So like this is the reason why
one woman. There was one woman there.
There always is.
Come on.
Of course she's got something to prove.
Right. She's still got her big 80s shoulder pads.
Yes, she does.
I'm a businesswoman here on business.
I'm here to do a lot of business, guys.
No, so, like, that's actually part of the reason why...
Doing the thumbs up. Yeah, wasn't that one girl, like, on the pictures? And I think that was Abu Ghraib, but either way.
That's the one reason, though, why I don't believe in, like, the big conspiracy theories. Because, like, people go, like, oh, yeah, man, like, the Illuminati are trying to hide the fact aliens... I'm just,
they're
like...
They're fun. They're a lot of fun.
Yeah, they're fun to listen to, but, like, the people who actually believe them, I'm like... No, Dave Chappelle did not suck a dick in order to get the Chappelle. Like, you know what happened? Is like, again, it was like seven
talent
dudes.
And hard work, yeah.
Yeah, it was like seven dudes in a boardroom who were just like, do we like Dave?
Yeah.
Yeah, we like Dave. Let's give him a shot. Yeah, like,
exactly. Well, the for me, the biggest shutdown to that, like, when people is go, have you ever done anything related to the government?
Yeah.
They're not organized.
Right, like, I work for them. Like,
I was a teacher for 10 years, and it was hilarious to go to a meeting. And we're not even talking national versus state. We're talking the same county run by the same people. You'd go to a meeting on Monday, and they would tell you, never, ever do this in your classroom. You'd go to a meeting on Tuesday with different people, and they were like, you should probably do this in your classroom. And if you can't get one fucking school county to talk to each other, do you think that the people top are that coordinated to you know, be the Minutemen from 100 Bullets? Like, it doesn't work that way. It just doesn't.
Even if, like, here's the thing. I guarantee you, if the Illuminati were real, are real. Let's give them credit. Say they are, right? The Illuminati is a group of old dudes who go like, ah, we're going to poison the water supply. Right? Pump chemicals into it. And then they turn around and they go, Minion, go forth and poison the water supply. And then he goes to his buddies and he's like, hey man, they want us to put something in the water, I guess. I guess we have to submit bids to Monsantos or whoever. And then it just breaks down in committee eventually.
Yeah. I don't understand why the Illuminati keeps putting secret messages and shit so that I can discover it and make a YouTube video about it. It seems like if you're really secretive and you're in control, you would never let anyone know. Yeah. Why do they keep putting messages in my Disney movies?
Well,
what did they get out of that?
It's the circle of cliches. Right? Like you, at a certain point in time, just gloating about your evil plan becomes fun, because why wouldn't you? Because you have an evil plan.
Like, and also, like, okay, so the Illuminati is in charge. They can meticulously control everything that's happening. Is it that bad? You know what I mean? Right. Like, there's a lot of people out there who are suffering a lot.
Yeah, there's probably a good reason.
But the people who are making the YouTube videos are fat, well-fed guys.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think the Illuminati's trying to kill you, or you'd be dead.
Maybe the reason our teeth aren't falling out of our mouth and we're actually living past 33 is because, you know, you have to take some poor children and then take the fucking adrenochrome out of their neck and...
Wake up, sheeple, as you munch on Doritos.
Thank you, Hillary. Thank you, Hillary, for my longer lifespan.
Thank you.
Well, we're 33 minutes into this, and I'd like to introduce a new segment to this podcast. The segment is called Rafiq. What's making you miserable today?
Nice.
So Rafiq, what's making you miserable today?
I thought we were going with what's making you miserable this week, right?
Okay, well, now I know what it is that I fucked up the name of the segment. So let's talk about that.
So this is the thing that's actually been on my mind all week that's been fucking driving me nuts is... It sounds like such an old man thing to complain about, but I'm hating...
Here we go.
...pants around the knees now.
It's topical.
Right? No, because...
But here's the thing. It is because he works at the casino, and 30% of the guys walking in there have their pants around their fucking knees.
Right, and here's the thing. The problem isn't, like, a cultural thing. It's not like I go, like, such disrespect to your elders or whatever.
Yeah.
I just go, like... Dude, that started in the 90s.
We haven't
come up with anything cooler since then.
My question in that regard is, why buy pants? Why you're not covering your ass and dick with them, so why have them at all?
My understanding is that it's you know, you have poor people that that have to buy pants larger than they are so that the kids grow into them. And then, you know, the kids get bullied at school. And then instead, you know, the kids just turn around and say, well, this is cool. And they fight the bullying by saying this is fucking cool.
But like,
and then it becomes a style.
And that's the thing. I don't mind that.
Here's why I can't accept that. When I was in the late 90s, mid to late 90s.
Yes.
I was into the hardcore scene.
Okay.
Punk, hardcore. That kind of weird gray area between punk and metal, which is hardcore.
Okay.
And big... There was even a song by Crash Dog where they make fun of the hardcore scene and they say Jurassic clothes of increasing size.
Okay.
Because there was little skinny dudes like me wearing double XLs and my pants. But I always had a fucking belt.
Yeah.
Like, they rode low. Sometimes they rode too low and I'd have to yank them up so they didn't slide completely off my ass. But I didn't have them literally around my knees.
Okay.
So my point is, if you're poor, get a rope.
Yeah.
Get a rope.
So, even at the poor end of the spectrum, I go, like, the goth style is, like, a dozen fucking belts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, go to your goth buddy.
Right? Yeah. We steal one of his.
And still
won't even notice.
And still the 2 liter of soda would just drag it down.
Right. It's just... It's so weird because I'm looking at that.
It is baggier than normal. You're right about that. Like, it's baggier than it was in the 90s. Like,
right, and I go...
It's just the ass is out.
Yeah, I remember seeing a dude on the street one time, and one hand of his entire body, one hand was devoted to holding the front of the pants.
I see that every night.
And I was like, why even wear pants?
Yeah.
Why have them?
Yeah, just...
If the shit goes down, you can't run away because you have one hand. You can't fight off the bad guys
because
you've only got one arm. And then if you can't run because then you get the little toddler with around the knees and you're running, you're doing the little duck walk, you know?
And I see that all the time. And again, it's like, I'm not trying to hate on this as a cultural thing.
Uh-huh.
Like, I love my people, but part of me goes, we have always been the forefront of, like, fashion and art and industry, and you're telling me we haven't invented anything cooler since Dre? Like, that's it? Dr. Dre was it?
Well, what is cooler than Dre? I mean, honestly.
I mean, that's fair. But you're telling me, like, nobody has come up with anything better?
No, I guess not.
I mean, I don't know.
I'm wearing gray. I have nothing to add to that. Yeah. I'm still in my work uniform.
So that's what's making you miserable this week?
That's what's made me miserable this week. I just want my people to be who they are supposed to be, which is cool. And this is so lame. Like,
I think next time we do this, I'm going to do a little... I'm going to make up a little jingle. It'll be like a little... What's making Ravine miserable this week? And just kind of drop those in while we're talking. Jeff, I have something to show you that I think you're going to appreciate. Now, longtime listeners of this podcast are well aware of this, so you don't have to go into a lot of detail, but I'm really excited to hear your reaction to what I'm about to pass across this table here. He's holding the CD that we all know and love. Oh, he sighed. He's not happy about it.
Oh, no. I think I'm going to love this. This reminds me of, like, Jackie Martling, who I love. Even though I never really followed Howard Stern.
So he's holding, if it's not clear, he's holding the Ed the Machine Regine 100 Greatest Jokes He's ever heard. Okay. Now,
with the parental advisory.
With parental advisory. It's self-produced, clearly. Unfortunately, I can't really show you the CD right now, but it's autographed. This was given to me by my sister-in-law who was on a cruise ship.
Yes.
Who saw old Ed perform. Now, we've gone through about the first 10 of these. They're not long.
Yeah.
At most, they're like a minute and a half. There might be a couple two-minuters on here.
Yeah.
But they require so much analysis after you hear them.
Okay.
That you really... It's we may get through two of these.
Okay.
To be honest.
Okay.
It's really something special. If you look at the track list, and again, longtime viewers, listeners will know this... all of those titles, there's no order to that whatsoever. We're going to play track 11, but it won't be
whatever is on track 11.
Okay, so it won't be driving to Chicago.
It will not be driving to Chicago.
Or it might be. Who knows?
Or it might be. If we decided that if we ever get one that matches the title, we win. we don't ever have to do this again. So, here's track 11, which is called, once again, Jeff?
Track 11 is Driving to Chicago.
Driving to Chicago. This is Driving to Chicago.
So the phone rings, and the guy answers the phone, and it's his wife's doctor. And the doctor says, is Mrs. Johnson at home? And he says, no. He said, what is it? And the doctor said, well, he said, I was going to give you a report on her condition. He said, problem here at the office. The sprinklers went bad, and all the water came in and wet everything. All the medical records are wet, and we can't really figure out what is wrong. But we did come to a conclusion that your wife either has Alzheimer's or AIDS. And the guy's, oh my God, that's terrible. He said, well, how are you going to know? How long will it take before you really know? And the doctor said, well, it's going to take about 7 days. And the guy said, well, what do I do in the meantime? And the doctor said, well, get your wife in the car and drive her to the edge of town and leave her there. And if she makes it home, don't fuck her.
And that was Driving to Chicago, I guess.
That was one of the 100 funniest jokes he's ever heard.
Wow. I mean, I know people don't do jokes anymore. They really don't. They do bits. But he's got to hear some better jokes.
Come on, speak up.
Yeah, just roll, let your heart speak.
I mean, I guess he gets points for I guess technically the AIDS part is offensive, but for doing something that's not like racist, homophobic, or you know, all the stuff that's usually funny.
Well, so what we've discovered, first of all, it's got a parental advisory sticker that he put on there himself.
Okay.
And we've discovered that he only says it like the fucking car. He never says people fuck. They always make love. So,
wow.
Like,
yeah.
Or, you know, that's really strange. Every time I've come across one I've heard before, it's like that distant memory of like, oh, I used to tell my friends this joke in the sixth grade.
Yeah.
Like, literally, sixth grade. Yeah. That's the quality. This guy, he recorded 100 of these.
And that's why he's still employed. Because comedy bookers don't like... that's what they like. I won't name names, but I've been trying to get up at a particular comedy theater and restaurant. And all I did was take out sucking black dick. You know, I'm still fucking my mom. I'm still like doing all the Jeff Ray hits.
Mm-hmm.
And
these 100 classic Jeff Ray hits.
100 of the greatest jokes Jeff Ray has ever heard.
Fucking my mom, burping her casket.
But he's got them all backward listed on the back of the CD.
But all I did was take out sucking black dick, and I was like, "Oh, you cleaned up your set," and I'm like, "What?"
So is that the one? Is that the joke that you used to tell about it all tastes the same?
Yeah.
So how did you tell the joke if you didn't mention that the dick was black?
I just didn't tell the joke.
Oh, okay.
Something else. I think I talked. I don't remember what, but yeah.
That's so weird. So is it just the word "fuck" gets you?
As
well, he didn't say "fuck." He said "sucking black dick."
Well, I'm talking about in general. Like, are we doing like the Carlin 7 things you can't say on TV still?
I think like, once it's if you get. If whoever's watching you likes you, you can say whatever, and it just doesn't register as offensive or dirty to them.
Mm.
But if there's one thing that, for whatever reason, like, oh, I don't know, interracial, just something that sets it off, and you're like, oh, bang.
Is this a place that splits or snaps?
Oh, I'd rather not say.
Okay. Because the place that snaps, I would say, has got to be because it's interracial.
Yeah.
They're having a hard enough time dealing with the fact that you're up there sucking dick.
Yeah.
Much less a black dick. Like, they're not going to be okay with that.
Yeah.
So, like, the place that you're referring to, I've had moments. I've been told that I can't do my Casey Anthony joke up there before.
Well, I don't know which one that is.
That's the one about I'm on an air, like I was on an aircraft flying for like 16 hours, 45 minutes, crying kid behind me the whole time. Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
It really is rude to have a crying kid with you. You should just leave the kid in the car.
With the windows up.
Preferably with the windows up. That way, you know, nobody outside has to hear it either.
Ever again.
So anyway, you were told not to do that joke.
So I did it on like one of their charity nights or whatever. And then the like person who puts together the charity nights goes like, yeah, I don't want you doing that joke again. And part of me was
did it bomb?
No.
No.
They got like
he just didn't like it.
She was just like, no. Mm-hmm. No. And it's one of those things where, like, as a comic, part of me went like, so now I have to do 20 minutes of Casey Anthony jokes. Like, you know how this works.
I did.
Well, that and to help the pro-choice movement.
The place that snaps. I had done a showcase at Improv. I don't know if I've told this story on this podcast, but it was one of those rare nights where, like, people are laughing at the setup.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're going,
oh, that's beautiful.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where you're going, I'm not this funny. Like, I don't know why you people are responding
because
to me.
They like
but
you. They like you. Yeah.
So I just annihilated that night. And so I got booked to feature at this place. So I get up there. Okay. I had been booked months in advance. As I'm getting out of the car to like, I've got my undershirt on and I'm getting my nice shirt.
Mm-hmm.
The manager like rushes and meets me at the car and goes, I don't think my audience is going to get you. Oh. I'm thinking like, well, A, why did you book me?
Yeah.
And B, why did you wait until right this second to tell me that? I got up there and just had the daintiest meal of dick. It was just five courses of dick, and I just had the silverware laid out and a napkin on my lap, and I just indulged in the dick that night. So I basically got fired. He was like, I can't put you back up on stage.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, look, I was expecting the money. I need the money. What if the woman opening for me was kind of a favorite.
Yeah.
I'm like, why don't you just flip us? Let me host. Let her feature. I'll take a pay cut.
Yeah.
And I'll cut out all the dirty shit. I'll just do my silly stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm good at hosting. Even if I'm not funny, I can tell I'm not funny and I can get the fuck off the stage.
Yeah.
You know? So here's the tragedy of it. The guy that was headlining was a guy who plays with his glasses the entire set.
Okay.
He tells a joke and takes his glasses off for a wacky and then puts them back on.
Okay.
Fucking annihilated.
Of course he did.
Fucking annihilated.
Yeah.
I watched that guy four times that week. Because I had to, you know, open for him. And so, as we're driving home, I was with my then-girlfriend. Something in my brain goes, let me look this guy up. I just want to see if there's anything in the world. So we get on YouTube, we type his name. When he had me introduce him, he said, all I want you to say is this guy's been on the road for 30 years. That's all you need to say. Fine. When the clip we found, the guy goes, this guy's been on the road for 15 years. Please welcome... And I sat and watched him do the exact same set that I had watched him do. And something inside me shriveled and just broke in half.
Yeah.
I was just like, this just became the saddest story I've ever seen.
Yeah.
In my, this was the guy. I come in. I don't know what I'm doing. I've never featured before. I'm definitely the young. I'm not even that young. I was in my early 30s. But I'm definitely the nervous kid. I'm the nervous kid. And I tell the story of like, well, I was at the Improv and I did really well and they got me here. And this guy, I'm Schmucky the Nobody.
Yeah.
This guy goes, can you get me in at the Improv? The headliner. I'm like, I don't, mate. Well, tell him I'll do it for only like $300. I'm like, I I'm a guy who did a showcase. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Yeah.
It's
fascinating.
Well, I mean, that's the power of like an A-class room. You know what I mean?
And if you've been, and also, of a name. And also, when you've been doing the same set for that long, you do have it so sharp that,
But it was basically street jokes.
Yeah.
It was like.
Yeah.
It was Ed in disguise.
It was something, like, one of them was something to the effect of, you know, my doctor, psychiatrist, or my wife's psychiatrist says she's afraid of bugs, but I'm like, but doc, she's had a bug up her ass for 10 years. I mean, it was that kind of quality.
Boy.
Fucking crushed.
And now we know why Ed puts so much detail into each of his jokes. He's trying to differentiate himself from the rest of the herd.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, let's tell us what the name of number 12 is going to be. Jeff, you've got the CD.
Let's see.
What's number 12 called?
Pope.
And this will not have anything to do. A little part of me went, maybe this one will actually be about the Pope. It won't.
Let's see.
It won't be, though. Don't get your head out.
So this couple is sitting at the breakfast table. It's their 50th anniversary. And the wife says to the husband, honey, 50 years ago we sat here and we had our first breakfast together. We were so much in love. We were naked and free and it was so beautiful. Could we just do that again as a tribute to our 50 years together? And the husband goes, well, all right. So they take all their clothes off. They sit down and the woman says to her husband, she says, you know, honey, after 50 years, my nipples are still hot for you. And he said, yeah, that's because you got one stuck in the coffee and the other in the oatmeal.
And that was about the Pope.
That was track number 12, The Pope.
That was Pope approved.
Jeff?
I don't understand any of that. I don't understand how that... why would you get a nipple in the... Oh, because they're hanging low. Okay.
Right.
Because
they're old now.
Because they're hanging and they're old now. Okay, now I get it.
Right?
Yeah, you...
That, see, this is what we've noticed as we've started introducing this to people. It's not even funny bad. It's funny... It's bad exhausting. It's just bad exhausting.
It takes something out of you.
Because the people that would find that funny, like, they...
Children.
Well...
Not even children. But I'm
thinking... When I was in sixth grade, I told jokes just like that. And thought they were fucking... And it was funny because I said nipple.
That one in particular, it's about getting old. And, I think old people, they would be more like middle class, upper middle class, and they could afford to just get surgery. It just doesn't make sense. So
you would have to change the joke around now because she's got breast surgery
done. Yeah, like, because she's had a tit job at 75... Something about the nipples poking her in the eyes or something. Like, I can't see you because my surgery nips are poking me in my eyes. Something.
You gotta update it.
So how about this? Jokes about natural aging have become dated. That's where we are now.
I feel like that hurts my head. I feel like it's so meta.
Now you gotta do jokes about vaginal rejuvenation. Yeah. Talking to this 70-year-old and she just got her vagina redone for the third time.
I was talking to this 70-year-old. Her bones are brittle, but she looks 25.
What helps me get through comedy is my barometer of success is as long as I don't kill myself at the end of this. I can
at the end of the set or just at the end of some journey?
Just life in general.
Okay.
As long as I make it to the end of life without killing myself, I consider my life a success. And it's taken the edge off of a lot of other things.
Doing comedy.
There's a weird thing for me because part of me goes like, that is a beautiful thought. And part of me also goes like, holy shit, how low was that bar set? like it is a beautiful thought to just be like, hey man, whatever happens.
At least I suck it out.
Right. Yeah. But there's also, again, it's just like, hey man, as long as I don't go out of my way to murder me, I've won.
And because I've six what I think a lot of comics or entertainers define as success, and what certainly would be success, you know, like money and fame and all that. I've seen how that affects people. Everyone's seen how that's affect people negatively, but it's not. Yeah, I've seen how dark it can get, and I.
So I guess it's different for different people because for me, it's never been
an excuse not to work.
Yeah, but it's never been about like being famous or having a lot of money. Like making enough to survive is good, like to live comfortably, And to me, that's like at 50, 60K a year, which I don't think is totally unreasonable. But I go, if you get the largest amount of exposure to your material, that's the successful thing.
Yeah.
Like, if I, like, the impossible dream would to be like Kevin Hart, you do a stadium, but then the moment you walk out of the stadium, nobody knows who you are.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, I came into Philadelphia, made 70,000 people happy for a night, possibly made their week better, and then I just get to leave? Mm. Like, holy shit. Like, just one beautiful one-night stand.
Well, that all comes down to, at the end of the day, you have to be you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
And if you're having a hard time and you're fucked, and then somebody dumps fame and fortune in your lap, that doesn't fix your fucking...
Yeah.
It doesn't.
One of the most brilliant interviews I've ever... I mean, I just couldn't believe the insight. Paul Stanley from Kiss.
Nice.
Early in his career, he's mega rich,
mm-hmm.
he's mega famous, and he has fucked all the Playboy models.
Mm-hmm.
And there's more Playboy models coming, and he's gonna fuck all of them.
Mm-hmm.
He's got nothing left to fight for.
Yeah.
And somewhere that early in his career, he realized, and he wasn't even like in a spiral. He just realized, I've got all my desires and needs met, so now it's just dealing with me.
Mm-hmm.
So he started like heavily going into therapy just because he knew that he didn't have anything to struggle against.
Uh-huh.
And like the insight that it takes to recognize that, to go, you know what? There's an opportunity here for me to get real fucked up real fast and to stop it before it happens. That's amazing to me.
Well,
I wouldn't have that insight. I'd be, now I have all the butts to fuck. Yay! I'm going to fuck all the butts now.
Well, so, like, I've always felt, as far as mental health is concerned, like, we should treat mental health like a regular doctor's visit.
Yeah.
Where it's like, hey man, go for your once a year checkup.
Yeah.
Just to make sure you haven't turned into like a sociopath between 19 and 20.
Yeah.
Like,
just like exercise or proper diet. Like, you need, it's something you have to maintain. And I think like having a goal is better than achieving a goal. Because once you achieve the goal, it's like, oh.
Yeah. Well, so there's always that thing about art though, because it's like, like, your dedication is to the gift itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, your focus should just be creating the best joke that you can possibly create, whether or not people love it or hate it. You know, it's like, you just made the best thing. You know? You just saw me.
Oh, beautiful. I love it.
I think that almost speaks to that kind of speaks to how bad Kiss is. They're like, we know how to write 3-chord rock songs.
I was like, we just knocked this out of the park already. So, what do we do now?
Well, it's about an hour here. Jeff Ray, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
We are very pleased that you were here. I'm glad I saw you and seen him
about beautiful.
3 years or so.
Yeah, it was really nice. No, I'm good. Just if you're ever in Tampa, every Thursday, come to the Improv. Open mic. Cool.
It's
good stuff. I hope I didn't yawn or anything. I've been, I didn't get to sleep until like 4 a.m. I had to wake up at 7. And I've been covered in buffet food all day.
And that was before work.
Yeah.
Whoa!
Like, why you gotta make this sound so sexual, Jeff?
I was getting a little self-conscious because I think I yawned once or twice, and that's, I love y'all. And
oh, no.
Yeah.
Don't worry. We'll find you some cocaine for the next
time. Yay, no, 2.5 years.
Yay, good job.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah. Like, I quit pot recently, but no alcohol, no cocaine, no nothing.
Yeah.
Good job, man.
I always say that is one of the... I remember when we first started hanging out and the way I've seen you now, you know, and it's like you have really put yourself in a place that you want to be health-wise. And I really respect that, dude. Bravo.
Thank you.
And your name is, what's your name?
My name is Rafiq Samurai Shaheen.
Oh!
Your name would be?
I am Alan Dempsey. This has been So How About This? And, you know, do push buttons on the thing that you're listening to.
Yeah, So How About This?
Come on.